I have to admit that I am a little bit worn out, still partially recovering from Scary Movie Night 9. I hope that the Chop Shoppers, the Chop Boys and Girls out there enjoyed
Welcome
the minisode, the pre-game
Watch,
Scary
shop,
Movie Night
retrofit.
Double features round that we did. Had some fun with that. And how are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine.
Feeling good? It's how I know I'm getting older, when the hangovers last 2 days instead of one.
So this comes from a place of love.
Yes.
But you look rough.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This is Cinema Chop Shop. It's a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is Torpedo Alley Travis, and I will be your host. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Riding Shotgun Sean.
Nice.
And surprise guest, returning guest tonight, Chewing Up the Scenery Chelsea.
Nice. I love it.
Here for tonight's episode. A further description of the show. The tagline at the top says, "Watch Chop Retrofit," because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies. Sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors. And then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. All right. Oh, and also, we're not in favor of remakes or reboots or sequels. Or, I mean, sequels can be okay. Sometimes remakes can be okay, but that shouldn't be the first go-to.
The go-to.
That shouldn't be your first option. No. All right. So speaking of that, movie news. We've got a few items. First up is sequel news, right?
Yeah.
We had a couple of sequel news items come across the desk here at the Chop Shop Garage. One is that Mike Myers, not Michael Myers, but Mike Myers, says that Austin Powers 4 is a go.
And looking good,
apparently. Yeah, looking good, which is kind of vague. So I don't know that anybody has been waiting around for a fourth installment of Austin Powers.
I haven't.
So
yeah, and I wonder if it's going to be kind of a like an advanced age Austin Powers.
That would just be Michael Caine, though, right?
Right. Michael Caine. Hey, you know, Mike Myers is Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I think Chelsea has a story about Canada.
Well, speaking of Canada, you had something you wanted to tell us about Degrassi?
I love Degrassi.
Okay.
So, in Canada, it's the law. They make you watch...
Andrew!
They make you watch Degrassi when you cross the border.
Okay.
So, I watched Degrassi, The Next Generation, that had Drake.
Yeah.
And Nina Dobrev from Vampire Diaries.
Yep.
All these people. Anyways, I ended up at this New Year's Eve party when I was like 19.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking around the room and I'm like, oh my gosh, these people look familiar. Like, they look familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to this girl and I said it and she was like, "Do you watch Degrassi?" And it clicked. And I realized I'm in a house party full of the cast. Yes.
Holy shit.
Right?
And so was
Took shots with Drake.
Was the party in Canada?
It was.
Okay.
Where I lived.
Gotcha. Very interesting.
It was.
A little morsel for Andrew.
Yeah. Take that, Andrew.
Yeah.
So in other sequel news, apparently Ridley Scott is moving forward with a sequel to Gladiator.
Another sequel we didn't ask
Nobody
for.
Nobody asked for.
No.
We were entertained. We were. We didn't need to rehash that. Then also, finally, Tyler Perry is killing off the Madea character. He said it was time for that bitch to die. And so the last Madea film is going to be a Madea family funeral coming out sometime soon.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So that will go ahead and wrap us up with movie news, and we're going to get into the Department of Corrections department, where we'll hear from Chief Corrections Officer Dana. Oh, and I think I hear her call coming in right now.
You have received a collect call from the Cinema Chop Shot Department of Corrections department. To accept the charges, please press 1.
Greetings, Choppers. I was really looking forward to digging into the corrections, but you didn't give me much to gnaw on. Here are the orts I scrounged up, though. Vincent Martella did the voice of Phineas in Phineas and Ferb. He also starred in Role Models with Paul Rudd, who is in Clueless, which was directed by Amy Heckerling, as Hillary corrected in podcast. Caleb Landry Jones was not in Galveston. Well, he may have been in the city at some point, but he wasn't in the film. I gotta run. We're having half-pound Whitey burgers in the cafeteria tonight. See ya.
All right, so I'm glad that we didn't commit any offenses in last week's episode. And I think she's referring to Bulger Burgers.
Whitey Bulger?
Whitey Bulger.
Bulger? Is it Bulger?
Yeah,
Whitey
yeah.
Whitey Bulger Burgers?
The Philadelphia mafia guy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
South Philly.
He was beaten to death with
Boston.
Yeah. And he was beaten to death with a padlock in a pillowcase.
Oh my gosh.
And the
didn't leave any bruises though.
He left a lot of blood. The inmates that did it were like they positioned themselves where security cameras couldn't see them apparently. So.
Oh wow.
So that is that. They did recently make a film about Whitey Bulger
called
Black Mass with your boy.
Ain't my boy.
Johnny Depples. All right, so let's get into the theme of the episode. It's the day before. On November 3rd, it will be the 97th birthday, or would have been the 97th birthday, of all-around American tough guy, Charles Bronson, right? So today we're talking about the films of Charles Bronson. Now, off the top of your head, Chelsea, you said you weren't super familiar with his work, but
no.
What comes to mind when you think Charles Bronson?
I still have no idea.
No idea. Sean?
All I know is that his birthday and my birthday are super close.
Okay.
So I like him.
Are you also planning on seeking some vigilante justice?
I mean, if I need to, I will.
All right, good.
When I hear Charles Bronson, and this probably is because I grew up with the movie, but I think it is an iconic movie in his catalog, Death Wish.
Death Wish, yeah.
That's the one I think of. It's the pacifist liberal who has his family taken from him,
right,
or something like that, and he has to become a vigilante and take the law into his own hands. But it's funny that we were doing this episode because just this last week on the Dana Gould Hour, our peer Dana Gould on the podcast,
of course, yes,
was talking to Patton Oswalt, and they were both having the discussion that Jason Statham is essentially
the modern
our
day.
Generation's Charles Bronson. And it's funny because I tweeted that exact same thing on one of my check-ins.
Well, Jason Statham was in the remake of The Mechanic.
True.
Yeah, so there's that.
But, you know, it's because Charles Bronson started out, his movies in the 50s weren't that great, but then in the 60s they were pretty good, and then all of a sudden they tried to make him into this sex symbol?
Yeah, like, there was also the Cannon Films era thing. He did several movies with
a lot
them.
Of cop dramas.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what the appeal was for those movies, other than he was tough.
Gritty.
Hard-boiled. I guess.
So, interestingly enough, you were mentioning his work in the 50s. He didn't go by Charles Bronson then. He actually went by his birth name of Charles Bukinski. Charles Bukinski, which is, I believe Lithuanian. I believe his family is of Lithuanian descent. But during the House Commission on Un-American Activities, the McCarthy witch hunt, his agent advised him that he should have a more American-sounding name, that an Eastern European-sounding name might hurt his career.
Chuck Bronson.
Yeah. So let's get into it, right?
Sure.
So let's do one of my favorite segments, one that we just did the other night for Scary Movie Night. It's the Midnight Double Features. This is where we go around the room and we talk about two films within the theme of the episode, today being Charles Bronson. So two Charles Bronson movies, or even something related to Charles Bronson movies. So, Sean, why don't you go ahead and go first with your double feature?
Sure thing. I'm going to jump in and go with two of his films from the 60s, and these are military films.
Okay.
The first of which is The Great Escape from 1963. This one stars Steve McQueen, famously in the lead role, James Garner, Richard Attenborough. The list goes on and on of the big names in this. Charles Bronson, of course, he's the tunnel rat. Donald Pleasance is in it. James Coburn is in it, which we'll talk about later tonight.
Now, Richard Attenborough, is he the Planet Earth one or the Jurassic Park one?
He's the British dude.
I mean, they're both British. Well, oh, yeah, I guess brothers.
Right. Jurassic Park more so than Planet Earth.
Gotcha.
But these guys are in a POW camp in World War II, and they engineer a great escape, as the name would imply.
Nice.
But Charles Bronson does play the tunnel rat. He kind of very patiently and quietly goes about his business of digging the tunnel and getting them out of there.
Gotcha.
And I'm following that up with The Dirty Dozen.
Nice.
1967, World War II setting. It is starring Lee Marvin, Ernest Borgnine, Charles Bronson, Jim Brown, the football player. John Cassavetes is in it.
Oh, wow.
Whom we talked about. His role is actually one of my favorites in that film.
And he was in Rosemary's Baby,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct. But Telly Savalas is in this as well.
Nice. And
probably my favorite role of his as well.
Who loves you, baby?
Yeah, he's a kind of a psychopath. All of the Dirty Dozen are all like criminals, military criminals, and they have the option of going on the suicide mission.
Okay.
And in exchange for getting out of their sentence or getting it reduced. And Lee Marvin's been charged with this impossible task of getting these guys together and training them up and getting them ready for the mission. And of course, everyone's like, you know, they're just going to shoot you in the back.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I know. So it's one of those fun military films. There's like a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor in it. But it's a good film, and it's one of those that you should see if you've never seen
it. I don't know that I've seen it in its entirety. I've definitely seen scenes from it. Speaking of your first pick, The Great Escape, very influential film. Immediately, Shawshank Redemption comes to mind.
That's what I thought
of. The kind of prison break caper, even though in this particular case it was a POW camp, it's still a prison break.
True.
What was the soccer movie that we watched?
Victory.
That was another one. Also, Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah, right? I guess so.
Yeah.
All right. So I went a different route. You've got both military movies. I went with two Westerns because he was kind of involved in the revival of the Western and the spaghetti Western scene. The first one is exactly that. It is a spaghetti Western called Once Upon a Time in the West. It's from 1968, and it's got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Rightfully so.
Really awesome story about the essence of most Westerns, which is land and water rights. There's this one area in the town that they're in that actually has water, and everybody wants it, but the railroad baron has laid claim to it, and he hires Henry Fonda, who's playing against type. He's playing a villain for once in this. And he sends him to intimidate the owners of the land, but he just, spoiler alert, just kills them. And so you also have the woman who was supposed to be the landowner's wife, his new wife, who's arriving in town, and this mysterious lone gunman. You've got Henry Fonda, as I mentioned. You've got Charles Bronson, Claudia Cardinale, who was in the Werner Herzog movie Fitzcarraldo, and then Jason Robards is a well-known thief that the Henry Fonda character tries to pin the murder on. But great, great spaghetti Western. It was directed by Sergio Leone, who, of course, did the Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, as well as countless other spaghetti Westerns. It was scored by Ennio Morricone, who was a frequent collaborator of his. But what I thought was interesting is that the screenplay was co-written by Dario Argento of Suspiria and Bernardo Bertolucci, who did The Last Emperor of China, two very prominent Italian directors. Yeah, really, really great movie. 1968.
It's a masterfully done
Once Upon
spaghetti
a time
western
in the West. And wait, then
what's a spaghetti western?
A spaghetti western is this genre of westerns that were filmed in Italy by Italian filmmakers during the late 60s, early 70s. Okay. So think your Clint Eastwood, Man Without a Name, those mm-hmm. those movies.
Okay.
The
There we go.
Wah, wah, wah. That's
it.
All spaghetti western.
Okay.
And that is Ennio Morricone, the composer.
All right.
And then pairing this with The Magnificent Seven from 1960, I believe it's 1960, that's what I wrote down, it was directed by John Sturges, who also directed Bad Day at Black Rock,
mm-hmm.
as well as the aforementioned Great Escape.
Yep.
And it's got an 88% It's got an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. We've got this band of gunslingers who decide to take up the banner of the undefended, the innocent and helpless. Recently been remade with a all-star modern cast, but you cannot beat this original cast. You've got Yul Brynner. You've got Steve McQueen. You've got Charles Bronson, of course. You've got Robert Vaughn, Brad Dexter, James Coburn, and then the name I'm not familiar with on this list is Horst Buckles. Horst Buckles, which his last name is very similar to Charles Bronson's original last name. But anyway, The Magnificent Seven is a magnificent film. You should definitely check it out.
It's based on what is it?
The Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa. Kurosawa, which we also talked about a while back.
Long, long ago.
All right. So based on what you've heard, Chelsea, what do you think about Charles Bronson so far?
I feel like I've probably seen him, and I just haven't realized mm-hmm. it, only because my grandma and I used to sit and watch Westerns all the
time.
But
you were wearing blindfolds while you watched them.
No, I was just young and dumb and, like, mm-hmm. not paying attention. Gotcha. I don't know. But I loved him.
Yeah.
He
is kind of like, if you weren't, raised on Charles Bronson or around during a certain time, he is almost like a peripheral pop culture figure.
If I had to describe him to someone who's never seen his face,
mm-hmm.
I would describe him as a human catfish carved out of leather.
Uh-huh. He's craggy. His
yeah.
face
right.
is kind of craggy. He almost has a mustache.
It's a very like catfish mm-hmm. whiskered mustache.
Yeah,
it's really not attractive.
He does have some kind of some ethnic ambiguity, which I think led to his being cast as Mexicans and Native Americans.
Yeah,
and
a lot of his films, they reference like Native American
yeah.
blood. And
But he was actually Lithuanian American.
Yeah.
Nice.
So let's get into the recast, right?
Yeah.
So the first movie that we're going to watch, that we're going to talk about, having recently watched, is from 1973. It was directed by Michael Winner, who worked with Charles Bronson a lot. He directed the Death Wish series. He also directed The Mechanic, as well as other things. We've got a scenario where in flashbacks you see this mob hit that happens back in the 30s, right? And years later, one of our principal characters, Al Vascari, is trying to enact a vendetta. He's trying to get even for an old mob score, right?
These are some of the most stereotypical
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
bad and, mafiosos.
And so former New York detective Lou Torrey, played by Charles Bronson, is brought in because he doesn't play by the rules, right? And we've also got a couple of people who keep good company together.
Hey, I see what you did there.
Three's Company. We've got an early performance from John Ritter as Aww. Officer Mort Hart.
He was 25 at the time.
I've got that, yeah. And then also Mr. Roper himself, Norman Fell, as Officer Daniels. So we've got a little bit of a Three's Company connection there. And anything else we need to say about the premise of the film?
No, other than just the execution, I felt like I was watching just a regular like cop drama from a TV series.
70s dicks.
Like 70s primetime cop drama, except for the blatant racism.
Uh-huh.
And
there was some of that, yeah.
And the implied sex that was to come. And again, there was a woman who was throwing herself at Charles Bronson in this film, and I'm like, really? Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into the recasting. We'll start with Charles Bronson, and he played the character Lou Torrey. And I want you to go first, Sean, because I, like I said, I've got a little bit of a theme.
Okay, that's mine. Cool. I went with somebody who is about the same age. Bronson was 52 at the time. This gentleman is 51, but he has done quite a few cop dramas himself.
Okay.
Ranging from Traffic.
Okay.
The Usual Suspects. And Sicario.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm picking Benicio del Toro.
Nice.
He's got the craggy face.
Yeah, he does. That's
dark,
good.
Dark, reserved kind of look that I think that that would work in this particular story.
He's the man. I love that. I think it's a Heineken commercial where he's sitting in the restaurant and people are outside beating on the window trying to take his picture. He's like, oh, it happens all the time. And they're outside. They're like, it's Antonio Banderas. All right. So my Charles Bronson, my Lou Torrey, I picked an actor who has played law enforcement in some films. He was a FBI agent in Gross Point Blank. He was also a informant in the movie Heat. Recently, you'll see him as a baseball commentator on the TV show Brockmire. But he's also the voice of somebody who he based the character on Charles Bronson, his wise guy on The Simpsons. I'm going with Hank Azaria.
Good choice.
Hank Azaria is going to be my Lou Torrey in this. And so we'll see if you can catch on to my theme moving forward.
Okay.
All right, who do you have for the Mafia Don who's out for vendetta?
The terrible, terrible Mafia Don. We're going to get revenge on you.
I am going to go with an actor who is creepy as shit. Always has been, always will be. He's age appropriate for the part. The Mafia Don was 54.
Uh-huh.
This guy is 54. You will recognize him from his work in Alice in Wonderland, Willard, River's Edge, and Back to the Future. I went with Crispin Glover.
Oh, I love Crispin Glover. He's great.
And I just saw a Crispin Glover film I'll be talking about during the movie marathon.
So, River's Edge, Back to the Future, and what was the other one you said?
Oh, the Willard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Alice in Wonderland.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, and he's also in American Gods.
Who is he in American Gods?
He's Universe, yeah, yeah. Yes. Or Mr. World. Mr. World is his character's name.
Wonderful. All right, so I was thinking about an actor who I would associate with like the mafioso, the Mafia Don stereotype or prototype? No, archetype. And this actor, you would recognize him from a movie called The Three Amigos. That's Trace Friends. For my English-speaking people. He's also in a movie called Forget Paris. And you would also probably recognize him as the voice of Fat Tony on The Simpsons. It's Joe Mantegna.
Yes.
Joe Mantegna is fucking 70 years old now, though.
Nice.
But, I mean, there's really no age limit on being a Mafia Don. No. It's just like, kiss the ring until I sleep with the fishes.
I think I figured out your theme.
You might have figured it out.
I think I got it.
I think I got it.
All right, so next up, we've got the John Ritter character. Some places where I looked, he was called Hart. Some places I looked, he was called Mort. So I'm just going with Officer Mort Hart, which could kind of be a some sort of allusion, because Mort means death.
I honestly did not catch him in this movie.
Yeah, it's quick.
It's super quick.
You really didn't?
Yeah, I knew he was in it, and I was looking for
appearance.
Him. Yeah. Yeah, it happens fast.
Just prior to he and Norman Fell being cast on Three's Company. So The actor, I'll go first this time.
Go for since it, yeah.
We've probably caught on to my theme. The actor that I picked is in a movie called Super 8. His name was Izzy in Super 8. He's also in a movie called Fantastic Four from 2005. He played Mr. Kenny. And you would probably also recognize him as the voice of Squeaky Voice Teen on The Simpsons. It's Dan Castellaneta. He's also Homer.
I was about to say, he kind of buried the lead.
Yeah, but it goes great with young John Ritter.
Squeaky he looks voice just teen. Like him.
Yes. Oh my gosh, wow.
Then, so Dan Castellaneta is 61 now, so it's going to
so
be...
So he's not a rookie on the squad.
No, he's not. But, I mean, maybe he's coming out of retirement. He decided to,
listen. They made a new TV show called The Rookie, and I'm pretty sure it's about, like, some guy who goes to the police academy who's, like, 40 or 50, like, starting over. That guy could do the same.
He could definitely do that.
Totally.
Well, all right, who's going to be your officer?
I went with somebody who was much younger, Officer Jack Tripper. I went with the gentleman who is known for the Percy Jackson films, the role of Percy Jackson. Logan Lerman.
He was in How to Talk to Girls at Parties. Is that
yes.
right? He was really good in that.
He was in The Perks of Being a Wallflower. He was in Fury and The Three Musketeers from 2011.
Okay. Hmm. Nice. I like it. Okay, so we've got one more. We've got Mr. Roper, who was later replaced on Three's Company by Don Knotts, but Mr. Furley, yes, so good. And in the process of doing trivia, I learned that Three's Company was based on a British sitcom called like Man About the House or something like that. And then the Ropers did a spinoff of Three's Company that was also based on a British sitcom that was a spinoff of Mad About the House. There's nothing new under the sun. All right, you go first with yours.
All right, so I picked an actor who is from England, actually. But
okay.
He always plays with an American accent on a lot of his movies. He was in the movie adaptation of Chicago. He was in the Punisher Warzone film.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the most recent Tomb Raider, and he was in The Wire. A lot of people know him from The Wire. Most recently, he's been in the TV series The Affair as the lead role. Noah, I'm talking about Dominic West.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I recognize him for sure. How many Punisher movies have they made now?
Not enough. We want more.
There's a bunch of them, right? There's the Wahlberg one. There's the one Thomas
Wahlberg?
Jane. Isn't there a Mark Wahlberg Punisher movie?
Oh, no.
No? What am I thinking of?
I don't know, but there was the Dolph Lundgren one.
There's the Dolph Lundgren one. There's the Thomas Jane one. There's the one with the guy from Walking Dead.
Well, that's a TV series on Netflix.
Well, damn it. I think it's the audiences who are getting punished. Mm-hmm. So my last pick for the Stone Killer is Officer Daniels. He was portrayed by Norman Fell originally. My actor is 74 now. He's also getting a little bit long in the tooth. You would know him from This is Spinal Tap and A Mighty Wind. I went with the voice of Eddie, of Lou and Eddie, Chief Wiggum's underlings on The Simpsons, Harry Shearer. So he's also... the voice of tons of other characters on the show. But I kind of tried to go with characters that would match up to the character in the movie. So we've got the cop right there. We got the squeaky voice teen. We've got the mafia don. And we've got the wise guy.
Very smartly done. Yeah.
All right. So anything else we need to say about a stone killer?
No, there are other better Charles Bronson movies.
And we're going to talk about one that's better here. After intermission, but first we have to say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some
vigilante justice.
All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host Travis, just chiming in here at intermission to remind you about our online presence. We are on Facebook. We're facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We post things about upcoming episodes as well as the Chop Shopper Challenge, where you, the listeners, can pick some roles to recast yourselves.
We're also on Twitter. We do some similar things on there. The Chop Shopper Challenge check-ins. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. If you ever want to comment on the show, that would be a good place to do it, as well as our email address. We are cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And we take suggestions for future episodes and any sort of commentary on the show. If you have corrections, if you notice some things that I say that might not necessarily be true, please let us know about that, because we do, the Department of Corrections Department. Once again, thank you, the listeners, for bearing with us during the intermission, and thank you for listening to the show. Remember, you can rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, or like us on whatever platform it is that you listen to your podcasts. And also, please remember to watch, shop, retrofit.
And we're back. All right. We just had to take a brief intermission. I went and peed in the yard.
Me too.
I Chelsea peed inside.
Still refuses her Cinema Chop Shop initiation.
I'm a lady.
She's give a me, lady.
Give me a better
whoa,
one.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. She's a lady.
So when we come back from intermission, we like to do a beer check-in. We should probably mention the ones that we've been sipping on so far.
Yeah.
In true Charles Bronson style, we went with some older
tough guy beers.
Tough guy beers, yeah. So you're drinking on the PBR over there.
Yep.
The Pabst Blue Ribbon. Woo-woo. And then we also have Coors Banquet, which, you know, for a long time, Coors was only marketing Coors Light. And then they did this like rejuvenation of their full-bodied Coors brand. And I remember when regular Coors was a thing, and it wasn't called Coors Banquet. That was a rebranding of high-test Coors. But you were saying that you preferred which one?
I prefer the PBR to the Coors.
Well, you know, they don't give out those blue ribbons for nothing.
Yeah. So let's crack open a check-in beer. This will be
okay.
Lagunitas from California.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
Petaluma.
Yeah, this is the Super Cluster Ale. This is a Citra Hop Mega Ale of intergalactic proportions.
Okay.
I don't know the ABV on it, but...
And what's it called? Lagunitas what?
Super Cluster Ale.
Super Cluster Ale.
I want the pink can.
Which made me think that they're cluster hops, but I don't... They're.
I think it's probably because anybody who attempts to fuck with Charles Bronson is going to be in a real cluster.
That's bitter.
I like the pink can.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
This is a California-style bitter IPA.
All right.
And while everybody's sampling that, we will go ahead and get geared up for the 2018 Movie Marathon.
2018 Movie Marathon, indeed. I am up to... Let me look here.
What day of the year is it?
It is... The 306th day of the year, only 59 days to go in the year. I'm up to number 347, very respectable, 347 movies
you're
so far this
in.
Year. You are well past the finish line of this marathon. You're resting. You're probably carb loading.
Carb loading for next year.
Yes.
I'm at 386.
386. All right. So give me your first check-in today, Sean.
All right. I will jump in and go with the one I mentioned earlier. It's from 2001. It's a film called Bartleby.
Okay.
And it stars David Paymer. You might know him from City Slickers. He played He played Ira. It also stars Crispin Glover.
Oh, the Crispin Glover.
It's a retelling of Herman Melville's Bartleby the Scrivener. A wimpy boss can't get rid of his new hire, who only replies, quote, "I would prefer not to," when asked to perform a job task. They get fed up with him. They fire him. He won't leave. He just stands there in the office.
Hmm.
He sleeps in the office, presumably.
Sounds kind of Dickensian.
It's weird.
Okay. So my first check-in for today is number 342, and it's a movie that I've been eagerly anticipating. It's a new Spike Lee joint. It's called Black Klansman. Black Klansman from 2018. outstanding comedic drama from Spike Lee based on true events wherein a local black cop manages to infiltrate the KKK. Great cast. It's very well done. It has, like I said, comedic elements as well as very important social messages.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I watched it too, and I found that Topher Grace's David Duke portrayal was chillingly accurate. I grew up with David Duke on the news and in interviews, trying to pass himself off as a legit person,
right?
Not a scumbucket. So my other check-in from today is a bizarre film from 2006 called The Pet.
Okay, yeah, you told me about this.
I call this the unofficial sequel to The Room.
Oh, damn.
Bad acting, bad directing, terrible plot. It's...
Well, you're really selling it.
It's awful. Right?
People can check this out on Tubi.
On Tubi, yeah. our soon-to-be sponsor.
Yes.
My favorite app ever.
Exactly. There's even like a Euro trash lead actor who sounds remarkably like Tommy.
Okay.
And it's just, it's awful. Like they progress the plot with like zero motivation. You just assume these people are all in for it. It's about a guy who pays a girl to be his pet, like on a leash and everything at his house for a weekend. Yes. And then they become entwined in human trafficking.
Okay.
Somehow.
Now, this is not to be confused with a more recent movie called The Pet, which is like a human abduction movie.
It may have been a remake or something, but there are some abductions that happen in this, but it's not the same film.
Okay. All right. So, speaking of The Room, I thought it didn't get quite enough attention when Marco arrived to the minisode, and I think it was Hillary, maybe you and Hillary were like, oh, hi, Mark. That was good stuff.
I love Mark.
All right, so my next check-in is Halloween-themed, even though we're past the actual holiday. I watched it prior to. It's number 343, and it is a documentary of sorts called Bride of Monster Mania. It's from 2000, and it is a documentary hosted by The Real Elvira, and it's about the countless contributions of women to the horror genre.
Oh, nice.
Over the decades. The whole point of the movie is celebrating women in horror. So you just cracked open another one.
In a pink can. It's from our friends at Frothy Beard in Charleston.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
This is called Sip Sip Pass.
I love it.
And it's a New England style IPA, and I'm assuming that's some sort of veiled drug reference. I don't do the drugs, so I don't know.
The kids and their dopes.
Puff puff pass.
I would like to taste that.
That's tasty.
Well. Puff puff pass. Here you
it's,
go.
It's very.
It's sip sip pass.
It's puff puff.
It's pleasant. It's not overly bitter. It's got a nice juiciness to it. I'm kind of down with it. All right, my final check in is one from earlier this week, bringing up Patton Oswalt again on the Dana Gould hour.
Oh, speaking of, Dana Gould was a writer for many years on The Simpsons.
Yes, he was a good one. They were talking about movie recommendations. They were panning Hereditary, which really bothered me.
Hereditary is so good.
I don't think they quite got it, but that's fine. But the one Patton Oswalt said the best scary movie he has seen in a long time was called A Dark Song. 2016 film. It's a Scottish cast. Basically, it's a two-person drama.
So good.
It's the grieving the death of her son. A woman hires an occultist to lead her through the dark ritual to contact her child, but that's not really the whole story. And it's really good. He's a shit. The occultist. He's a shithead. And
it does sound very similar to the premise of Hereditary.
But at the same time, she's not completely honest with him.
No,
and because
but
of
I
that,
don't
a
feel
lot
like
of things kind of.
He is that much of a terrible person. I feel like at his core, like, he's got these good qualities.
Oh,
and
sure.
The more he gets to know her, he wants to help her and, like, be there for her. And these softer sides sort of come out in him.
So is that a recommend?
Oh, I recommend it, yes.
Okay. It's so good.
Especially if you like like a bottle movie, bottle episodes where things happen inside a contained space.
Definitely.
This is one of those. Most of the action happens in the house, and it's for the majority of the film, it's just the two of them.
All right.
I liked it.
And tell us the name one more time.
A Dark Song.
A Dark Song. I'm going to have to check
that
out.
It's on Netflix.
Okay. All right. My speaking of dark, my final check-in for today is one of the movies we watched at Scary Movie Night. It's called Beyond the Black Rainbow from 2010. This is the first film from who I think is going to be a highly acclaimed director. His name is Panos Cosmatos. He directed 2018's Mandy.
Yes.
Oh, Mandy, which we
I'm
have...
still messed up from that.
We've spoken at length about here on the show. So my review is, if you enjoyed the psychedelic freakout that was this year's Mandy, here's an earlier offering from director Panos Cosmatos. It was feature number 2 from Scary Movie Night. Interestingly enough, they were just talking about this movie on Side Stories with our peers from last podcast on the left. And they pointed out some things that I kind of agree with, that it was almost like a master's thesis of how to make a fucked up, scary movie. Visually, amazingly stimulating. Could have maybe been served better by a little bit more dialogue and narrative.
Yeah.
But I thought that it was a perfect backdrop for the second half of Scary Movie Night. What did you think of it?
I didn't stick around to watch. I still need to watch it.
Gotcha.
Chelsea, have you seen any new movies that you want to talk about?
It's not a new movie. It's just... It's
one that you've watched recently?
Yeah. It's an old favorite of mine. It's Go from 99.
Go. Yeah, it's so good.
Katie Holmes, Sarah Pauly.
Yes.
Love
Sarah Pauly.
I love that movie.
It's really good. Also, a very early Timothy Oliphant.
Yes, and I love him in it.
Yeah, it's...
I casted him.
Also, Josh Wolfe. Josh Wolfe is in there.
Scott Wolfe.
I'm sorry, Scott Wolfe. His cousin is Josh
from Party
Wolf.
Of Five?
Yes.
And you know what was messed up about Party of Five is that...
Wasn't Wilford Brimley in that show?
Well, maybe, but two of the male leads... were named Fox and Wolf. Matthew Fox and Scott Wolf.
Sounds like fan fiction.
It's confusing as shit.
By the way, we cracked open another one. This is from Revelry Brewing, also in Charleston.
Nice.
Never Sunny. This is their New England style IPA.
Much is different. It a reference to Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, it's just such about how cloudy it is.
Okay.
Get it? But it's a very clever can. You can stack these cans and create an infinite loop of the artwork.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess this is Ra? The sun god, Ra?
Yeah, of course.
And so you can
That's Horus.
Horus.
Yeah.
Sorry. So you can stack those up and make a full feature.
That's awesome.
Look it up online if you don't know what we're talking about.
That's super cool. So, all right. So with that, we will go ahead and get into the second half of our feature segment, the recast continued, part 2, the sequel.
Redux.
And this one, I believe, is a better film.
I agree.
I actually watched both of these last night. Because that's the only time I had to do it. And I enjoyed this one far more than The Stone Killer. And we're talking about a movie from 1975. It was directed by Walter Hill, who has a very eclectic catalog. He directed 48 Hours. He also directed The Warriors. It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And we're talking about Hard Times.
100%.
100%.
Just one review.
Yeah, there's just one dude who loves it.
I don't really think it was 100%.
His screen name is C. Bronson. I don't know what's going on with that. But it's the story of a Depression-era bare-knuckle boxer just trying to get along, and he's kind of taken under the wing of a manager-slash-degenerate gambler played by James Coburn. And then we have the lady lead, Charles Bronson's real-life wife, Jill Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were married for a long time until her death. And they made 14 films together.
Wow.
In fact, they actually met on the set of an earlier movie, and she was married at the time to an actor named David McCollum. Mm. And Charles Bronson sees her, walks up to David McCollum and says, "I'm going to marry your wife." And then he did.
That's the power of that catfish mustache.
For real, man. All right, so...
And she's a beautiful redhead, by the way.
She really is.
Oh, yay, gingers.
And, well, in this, she's kind of a blonde.
Shut up, she's a ginger.
She's kind of redheadish.
Maybe strawberry?
Yeah,
strawberry
we'll settle on strawberry.
All right, so Charles Bronson's character is named Chaney. He's our bare-knuckle boxer. Then we've got the manager, Spencer Speed Weed. Is his full name, Speed in quotations. And then Jill Ireland's name is Lucy Simpson. So what else were you going to say, Sean?
I was just going to say this movie is essentially The Color of Money, but oh, yeah. Fighting.
Yeah, big time. All right, so Hard Times. First up, we've got our bare-knuckle champ, Chaney. He can't be beat. Like,
the first fight was great.
He knocks out the guy in one punch.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go first.
Okay, do it.
That you mentioning that reminded me of why I picked my lead. It reminded me of the scene in Snatch when Brad Pitt fights for the first time and clocks the guy and just knocks him out.
He's wiry.
And everybody's just like that what the fuck moment. So I mentioned him before already. I'm going to tell you right now. Jason Statham is my Charles Bronson in this flick. He's my fighter.
I got it. All right, so I went with an actor who has a kind of a similar aesthetic. He's been in a ton of things recently. He was in Mad Max Fury Road. He was in, he was in The Dark Knight Rises. He was also in a movie where he plays a prison boxer named Charles Bronson. We're talking about Tom Hardy.
Lovely.
Love it.
As Chaney, aka Charles Bronson.
His most recent movie was not good.
Oh, The Venom? I haven't seen it.
Is Charles Bronson still alive?
No.
He passed away in, late 90s?
I think early 2000s.
Early 2000s, late 90s.
Like just old age or what happened?
No, it was pulmonary stuff. He was kind of a lifelong smoker and eventually fell to the...
That leathery skin doesn't make itself, you know.
Well, indeed. Right. I was just curious.
That skin was made in Cordoba. It was so leathery. All right. So next up for this movie, we've got the manager, James Coburn, who we've talked about before. He was in, what was that Con Man movie where he played two roles? He was the uncle and the father with Michael Bean. James Coburn, he's an awesome actor, and he worked with Charles Bronson many times.
Yeah.
He was in Magnificent Seven, right?
Yep. In Like Flint, Our Man Flint.
Yes. So with my pick, I was thinking about his nickname in the movie, Spencer Speed Weed, and I had to go with an actor who... man, he's great. He's probably best known for his breakout performance in a movie called Speed with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, God.
Keanu Reeves is going to be my manager. So Keanu Reeves is 54 now, where James Coburn was 47 at the time. Charles Bronson was 50. So even though James Coburn was kind of like the mentor guy, like... kind of showing him the ropes.
He was younger.
He was technically younger in real life.
Right.
Keanu Reeves is older now than Tom Hardy in real life. 54 compared to 41.
Yeah, I could buy that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Older age, I think I like him better now than I did earlier in his career.
Oh, yeah, he's gotten better. Yeah. He's still wooden as fuck.
Yeah, but he knows how to pick his movies now.
Yes, John Wick is awesome.
He's a bizarre dude.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But I keep seeing these memes show up about like Keanu just being Keanu, and he just helps people for no reason. He's a really cool guy.
What's the movie where he was the baseball coach?
He's the baseball coach
of like a little league team. Oh my gosh.
You're going to look that up while we're continuing to talk.
interesting. I don't know.
Did you give us your speed weed?
Go for it. I'm going for it. It's funny. He's been mentioned tonight. He's 50 years old. He kind of has that slick quality. He's been in the First Wives Club, The Perfect Getaway. He's been in the Hitman films. He was in The Crazies from 2010.
Oh, I like The Crazies.
Mm-hmm. Most people know him from Justified. I'm talking about Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, yeah.
We love him.
We were just talking about him.
And I cast him a couple weeks ago.
It's a white Oliphant party.
I love it.
All right, so did you figure out the movie where Keanu Reeves plays the...
My phone doesn't like the rain, hang on.
So negative on that. All right, moving it on to our final role. Jill Ireland, Charles Bronson's real-life wife, played Lucy Simpson. And so with this one, I went with another kind of namesake pick. I went with Ashley Simpson.
Nice. I love it.
Ashley Simpson, of course, is the younger sister of
Jessica
Simpson. And she actually does know that tuna fish is not chicken.
Speaking of Jessica Simpson, did you see her Halloween costume this year?
What was it?
She and her husband went as Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito from the movie Twins. And she played Danny DeVito.
Nice.
I love it.
Completely unrecognizable.
That's great.
Look it up online.
I found the movie.
Okay, what is it?
So it's called Hardball.
Hardball.
Keanu.
Yes. And he is it your favorite?
I love this movie. Like, he's so sweet.
You love it so much, it took you 10 minutes to figure out the name.
I just couldn't think of the name. It's old. It's from 2001. Older.
Yeah.
But it's sweet. He's so good in it. Like,
let the look that
up. Are you thinking of Fever Pitch?
No. I am not thinking of the Jimmy Fallon, Drew Barrymore Fever Pitch.
All right. We've got one more recast to do.
That's for me.
Go for it.
All right, so I'm playing on this redhead theme because she was a redhead.
Is it me?
No.
No.
Oh.
Sorry. You don't get the big payday.
Sorry.
She was in Zero Dark Thirty. She was in The Tree of Life. She was in Crimson Peak. She was in Interstellar.
Okay.
But most recently, she was in Molly's Game. I'm talking about Jessica Chastain.
Yes, you are. You like Jessica Chastain.
I like her a lot, and I think she'd be good for this particular part. I know I've cast her before.
Uh-huh.
But I just felt really drawn to her with the way this role was carried out.
I could see that for sure. Especially like the Molly's Game role. That was really good. All right. So what else do we need to say about the Hard Times?
It's okay. I don't think it's 100%, but it's a good film. It's fun. Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Christian Bale movie Harsh Times, which if you've never seen that, please check it out. So in lieu of a honey roast today, we're going to do a round of who would win, right?
Yes.
Okay. Who would win if it were a bare knuckle boxing match at high noon in Branson, Missouri, between Charles Bronson, Pierce Brosnan, and
Bronson Pinchot.
Oh, and tell me again who that is.
He played Cousin Balky on Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yes. Okay, so just to be devil's advocate, I'm going to go with Pierce Brosnan because he has all of that James Bond and Remington Steele training. So he's going to know how, he's going to be better at gunplay, I think. Oh, it's a bare-knuckle boxing match. Shit. Okay. He's going to bring in his stunt double.
Nice.
Pierce Brosnan's stunt double is going to jump in and win.
Okay, so you're going Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
Chelsea, what do you think?
Okay, so I'm like, I don't like your three choices, but...
Well, who's your alternate?
Me and my grandma, because...
Okay.
Branson, Missouri, like my grandma and I took over that town when we were there.
Her grandma is actually Charles Bronson.
So oh, nice.
She might be.
Same pick.
My grandma and I would totally win. Branson, Missouri is a wonderful place. I had the best time of my life. It's my favorite family vacation.
It was a better time than the Degrassi house party. Degrassi, sorry, yes. Andrew.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, fair
enough.
And my
grandma would, like, kick all of their asses. I'm sorry.
What if you could combine those two memories? The Degrassi house party in Branson, Missouri.
Could you imagine,
like... They would call it DeBrancy.
Right? Could you imagine, like, my entourage? Mm-hmm. We would win.
Yes.
My grandma was also a ginger.
So okay.
FYI.
Sean?
I'm going to go with Bronson Pinchot.
Because?
Because he's standing tall on the wings of our dreams.
What a country! Isn't that...
No, you're thinking about...
Yakov Smirnoff? What the fuck was Balky saying?
But Yakov does perform in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, no shit.
So maybe he, like, kind of slips him a weapon.
What if Balky,
like,
and Yakov are the same person?
Yeah, like he slips him a weapon, like in a wrestling match kind of thing. He gives
him,
like, some brass knuckles or something, you know?
Nice.
Didn't Balky have a catchphrase?
Oh, Cousin Laddie, or whatever. I don't know.
That was pretty good.
It was offensive. But Bronson Pinchot, by the way, is currently in that new Netflix series, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, loosely based on Sabrina the Teenage Bitch.
Oh.
Has anybody watched that?
No.
I'm sure someone has, but no not one in this has. Room.
Well, I heard that they got, like, some legal action taken against them.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure what about. I sort of, like, briefly skimmed a news article about it, but...
Well, you know, witches are notoriously litigious.
Somebody got angry.
So
why didn't anybody pick Charles Bronson?
Well, because it was the obvious pick. We've already talked about how tough he is.
And he's dead. Won.
And he has passed on. Speaking of the Dia de los Muertos, Charles Bronson, rest in peace. And so it's time to wrap up this show. I want to thank you, Chelsea, for being on Impromptu. And providing color commentary
to our ramblings. I always love it when you guys invite me on. I love this podcast.
Do you have anything that you want to plug?
I want to plug trivia with you.
Oh, okay. You're stealing Sean's thunder
His
plugs, his plug thunder?
I am.
That's also a new line of Hildo's Dildos.
Nice.
Plug thunder. Listen, if you find yourself bored in Florence, South Carolina, Monday or Wednesday, please come to Seminar Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Your friendly bartender, Chelsea, will be there.
Ah, so you're really plugging yourself.
I mean, kind of.
Also, Hildo's Dildos.com. also, we want to plug the podcast itself. What's coming up next week?
It's the films of Grace Kelly.
Princess Grace.
Can I please come?
By all means, okay. Please be here.
She's my fave.
Then we want to remind the viewers to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform, podcatcher, podcast device, app, or whatever you're listening to us on. Subscribe, rate, review. We love that.
Tell your friends.
Yeah,
we need subscribers.
We can see your tweets. If you tweet at us, we're at Cinema Chop Shop. Tweet at us and about us. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And then our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. Also, you can listen to us natively on Podbean. If you search Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. Thank you to you, Sean, the engineer, co-host, co-producer, doing the damn thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And finally, thank you, the listeners. Farewell, but please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit.
Tip your bartenders.
Woo-woo!